WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, guys, welcome back. This is the College Struggle with Dev. I'm the host, Dev. And for this week, I have a guest, Chaney Scott. Please say hi.
Hi, everyone.
All right, and today's topic, it's a little different from the usual topics, not like one little topic. It's more like a recap of since the beginning of the show and really since the beginning of college and how we've grown, how things have changed, and maybe how, let's say, like, things have gotten better or maybe even worse. So I understand that she brought a list. Chaney Scott brought a list of things to talk about. So we could honestly just go through your list and talk about and those topics and dive in. So please. Yes.
So freshman year was a time, a deeply humbling time, where you just learned so much. And Devin and I, both sophomores, so come a little while and we've learned some lessons. So into my freshman year, I got a concussion in church. Long story, God struck me down. But as I'm laying there in DCH, I was just thinking back over my freshman year and just some of the lessons that I learned, wrote them down, and then about a year later, I've written some more just lessons that I have learned down. I'm a journalism major. I do a lot of writing. So before I get into this, is there anything that you've learned, Devin?
Things, don't expect things to go perfectly planned. Things can change so quickly.
Change is the only constant, but you gotta embrace the change.
Yeah.
So many things are gonna happen that you have to make yourself open to change. Be willing to accept the lessons that life has to teach you.
I agree. I would also say that, like, don't be stressed out or anxious about the change. Like, just work with it, because it's just life. Like, it's always gonna happen like that. Like, nothing's gonna happen perfectly to plan. Nothing will happen the way you want it to. Yeah. Nothing ever does.
You gotta be adaptable.
Exactly. Just life.
I think the one of the biggest lessons that I've learned is there's only one thing or one person that can hold you back, and that's yourself.
I agree.
Your own doubt, fear, laziness. I feel like as long as you are willing to put in the effort and find that drive within yourself, it's going to push you really far. And going off of that, goals don't mean a thing if you're not willing to put in that effort.
Mm-hmm.
And Deb, do you lift?
Do I lift? No, I don't lift.
Okay. hypothetically, you go to the gym, do you immediately reach for the 200-pound weight?
Of course not.
No, you have to work your way up to those big goals. And goal setting just works that way. You have to set smaller goals to reach to your big goals. Like, if you want to be president, you don't start out saying, like, I'm going to be president of the United States right here, right now. Got to do the whole campaign, maybe run for smaller offices first. Goals work the same way here in Alabama too. And I remember a lot of these lessons I learned from this guy that I worked with. I had a really cool internship summer of 2021, and I was really intimidated at first because I had just graduated from high school and all of these other people had just graduated from college or even law school. And that's when I kind of realized, don't necessarily surround yourself with people like you. Surround yourself with people better than you. Show me your five closest friends and I'll show you your future. Surround yourself with people who mentor, encourage, and challenge you. You know, you are who you surround yourself with, so surround yourself with people you want to be like. And that was a really cool time where I was able to learn so much from these other people. And there was one guy especially, and this is the only time I probably use this phrase to describe anyone, but the personification of absurd confidence. This kid walked into the room, shook hands with everybody from the senator, chief of staff, to the maid and the janitor, treating them all equally, and said, hey, I'm so-and-so. It is a pleasure to meet you. I am so excited to be here and working with you, and I'm going to do this and this and this. And you know what? Then he did. And that's when I realized, like, oh my gosh, the secret, the success is always be the most confident person in the room, even if you're faking it the whole time. Because I pulled him aside later and I said, how are you not overwhelmed? And he, like, kind of sat me down and said, I'm so scared. We have a really cool thing going here and I don't want to screw it up. But I figure, you know, fake it till you make it. if you make believe you're confident, then you'll start to think of it. And I was talking to one of the girls that I live with before I came over here, and she was talking about how if you start telling yourself something often enough, then you'll believe it's true. And same goes for that guy. If you walked in, it's like, I am the most qualified person to be here. I am the most confident person here. I'm going to get stuff done. Then you will.
It's really good advice. I mean, I think that's really important to just not, you know, well, when you say overconfident, if you, even if you think you are wrong, it's okay to ask for help too as well. I think if you're lost, like, it is, you don't have to pretend like you're doing something perfectly fine, and it's, you're, for lack of a better term, like, you're failing, but you're not really failing. You're just, like, not understanding it. But I know what you mean. That's really good advice.
You're a tutor, right?
I do. I tutor one class, tutor accounting, but that's it. Yeah.
And accounting is very difficult.
Sometimes it can be. It's.
I think you're in the same class as my roommate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because would you send notes and something?
I wouldn't send notes, but I would go to the library and reserve a room for like a couple hours, and I would always be there just studying.
Yes. So. She went to that one time, I think.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
So she's like, I met this guy, you helped me with accounting. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know him from the radio.
Yeah. No, I do it at high school, so it's really funny, but yeah. Man. It's very strange, like, to also think, you might come in thinking, like, I don't even want to, like, do this major, or, like, I don't want to do this or do that. But I always encourage people to just try it out, mm-hmm. even if it's just, like, for, like, a little bit, like, a day, an hour or something. And if they don't like it, they don't have to. But I think oftentimes, if they just give it a shot with the positive mentality of, okay, I'm going to give it a shot, let's see how it goes, they're, like, they can change very quickly. Like, I came here, like, wanting to transfer. I did not want to stay here at all. And because I got this letter from a school back home at Georgia Tech, and it was like, basically, you just get a 3.3 GPA at any other school in the United States, and you can come here your sophomore year. So I was like, okay, cool. You know, I'll be closer to home. I wanted to go to, like, in the city, like, school city. And then, obviously, I did not transfer. I stayed because I tried doing things. I'm in the sewing club now. I did the photography club. I did the running club. Yeah. It's just like getting involved. Just doing a lot of things to get involved. And then, of course, meeting people. And you'll find anywhere you go, even if you, like, I don't know, if you do feel like you don't belong here, you want to transfer somewhere. I feel like anywhere you go in life, you'll find your group of people. And I hope that you find a good group of people to help you grow, like how Janie Scott talked about earlier. So.
You're so involved,
Scott. I'm not that involved. I think there are definitely more people way more involved than I am, but I'm not that busy.
How did you get to do sailing club? Because it's not on the water.
Yeah. So it's at the Lake Tuscaloosa, and I just saw it at Get On Board Day, and I thought, you know, cool, sailboats. I've never learned how to sail, never been in a boat before I even joined, and now I run the Instagram, I look at all the data and all that. It's so fun. Yeah, it's really fun. And I was actually there this morning until about 2 or 3 o'clock, so it was really nice. Yeah, but it's really cool. It's also a lot easier than you think, and it's really, really fun. You meet a lot of people in the club are actually engineering majors, which is very funny. I don't know how that correlates, but it does. But yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, you've really taken that and sailed away with
them. Yeah. Yep, exactly. Couldn't have said it myself. What else do you have list on your list?
So concluding what I said earlier, first impressions matter.
Right.
Shake hands with everybody. But another lesson that I realized is, how familiar are you with the 90s alternative music?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, you know that song by Lit, My Own Worst Enemy?
If you sang it, probably. But you don't have to sing it.
Forget about the things I said.
No. Oh, then yes, yeah.
I didn't mean
to. Okay, yes. I know the song, yes.
But the chorus is like, I am my own worst enemy. And that's so true. You are your own worst enemy. And what I mean by that is, okay, don't give me that look.
No, it's so funny. Like, the song. All right, keep going.
No, I want you to imagine me at a date party hearing that and be like, wow, that's so profound. Everybody around me is jumping around, and I'm sitting in the corner like, this is so deep. And that's not what the song's about, but the chorus, I was like, oh yeah, this is the meaning of life, right?
Oh yeah.
But what I mean when I say is that you are your own worst enemy is sometimes you just start talking and you dig yourself into a hole, and sometimes you just need to shut up. Or at least for me. But watch what you say and how you say it, because words have power. What you say and how you say it really can impact somebody for better or for worse. And it isn't something to be taken lightly or taken for granted. And you have such an opportunity to make an impact on someone, anyone's life, especially at a school as big as Alabama with around 40,000 students. People need people, and so there's somebody who needs you and somebody who needs the encouragement and respect that you have to give them. I think about a time, it's like, I have a friend right now, shout out to Sierra, who's studying abroad in Australia. And I knew I wanted to have her come to this thing, but I knew she wouldn't be on an Uber kit. So I still invited her, knowing that she wouldn't be able to come. Just everybody wants to feel included.
Right.
So invite people, even if you know that they can't come. And I believe that the two most important things to show to people are compassion and respect, especially at a time like coming to college where you're away from home for the first time, and especially at the beginning where everybody's struggling, hence the name of the show, College Struggles.
Yeah.
But be that person for someone to encourage them.
Yeah. Even if it's just like people you don't know that well, I think, like, it'd be a stranger on the street saying, like, something nice about you. Because mm-hmm. they'll, like, you always think about, like, those people. Or, like, at least what they said. Maybe, like, with their face or anything. But definitely, like, what they said to you. So.
What's the best compliment you've ever been given?
I remember sometimes, one time someone said I had really white teeth. I didn't believe them.
Smile.
But I don't think so.
I mean, probably whiter teeth than average.
All right. I mean, it's not like white, but and I was like, I don't know about that, but thanks.
There's
and then
a commercial where they put up the piece of paper next to yeah. the teeth. Like, it's the whiteness test.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like those things don't even work. Those, but I don't know. I have no idea. What about you? What's a compliment you remember?
I feel like a compliment I get a lot mm-hmm. being a sorority girl is, oh my gosh, you look so cute. But the best compliment, this is a core memory of mine.
Right.
It was May 19th, 2019.
Oh, wow.
I'm really good about that. You can ask me like what day something happened, and I would probably be able to tell you.
Okay.
But I was in New Orleans, and I had just gotten my driver's license that same week. The proudest moment of my life, I parallel parked in the French Quarter of New Orleans. That's not related to the story.
That's still hard.
Yes. Thank you. If there's one thing that can be known about me, it's that I'm really good at parallel parking. And I was in town for a concert.
Okay.
I love Paul McCartney. I love the Beatles.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listen to my radio show here on 90.7 FM, The Capstone, which you should always be listening to. But I was the creator and host of Rockin' Tune, a classic rock show. And it was my birthday, so we were going to go see Paul McCartney. Show's great. I know every song. And this security guard walks up to me and my dad and says, like, hey, you know, Mr. McCartney always reserves club seats for the diehard fans. Mind you, our seats had been behind the stage. You couldn't even see the stage. Nosebleeds. But he gives us these two tickets. We got the club seats. We're right on the side of the stage. It's awesome. And there's these people behind us who are just not happy to be there. And they're pouring their beer all over us.
Oh, wow.
Like, on our heads.
Yeah.
It was not fun. These random little old ladies come up to us, give us moist towelettes, try and pat us down. They're really sweet. And a cloud of smoke appears.
Oh.
And this man, I want you to think of him as like a Greta Van Fleet stoner and Santa Claus
okay.
all in one.
Okay.
steps out of the smoke. And mind you, just for context, I have been standing the whole time, jumping up and down, singing along to every song. I love Paul McCartney. And Mr. Santa Claus in his stained Greta Van Fleet t-shirt and dreadlocks. He had long gray hair running down his back, not on the top of his head, but all down his back. And the Fu Manchu mustache.
Okay.
Steps out and says, sir, is this your daughter? And my dad says, no. I'm like, excuse me, can I help you? He says, listen here. Let me tell you a thing or two about a thing or two. I saw your aura glowing from across the room, child. And I haven't seen a spirit like that, a golden halo, since the dead 1979. Yes, and.
Okay.
Because I just had to come over and say, I really think that you're a flower child. And never let the man keep you down. The man will try to get you to you. The government, they'll try to get for you. But you gotta find the spirit of the music inside of you, man. Be that flower child. And just as quickly as he appeared, he vanished. Back into the cloud of smoke and disappearing back into the crowd. And at this point, I went over to the stairwell. I didn't want to bother the people who were behind us pouring beer on our heads. And I just kind of had that whole time in the stairwell, enjoying the rest of the concert, dancing up and down, singing along. And when Paul McCartney starts to play The End, which is quite literally the song, The End, at the end, I see out of the corner of my eye, this man making the little rock and roll hand signs, jumping at me. He was, rock on, flower child, rock on! So, to answer your question, Tim, with this very long tangent, the best compliment I have ever been given was having a random man come up to me at a concert, call me a flower child, tell me never let the man keep me down, and tell me to rock on.
That's a pretty good output.
I try as a life lesson, so be that flower child.
That's a pretty unique story.
Yeah, you gotta find the spirit of the music inside of you, man. Have you ever seen that 70s show?
Yeah, yeah.
You know Hyde?
Mm-hmm.
Who, unfortunately,
yeah.
In real life, is not the best role model. I'm gonna get canceled in 20 years. But
it's all right.
it reminded me of that character.
Oh, that guy that said that to you, or
just the vibes.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
But I guess how you could interpret that as how to be a flower child 101, a new class coming to the University of Alabama.
Yeah, and the new college.
Imagine that, like, you go to your first job and they said, what's your degree?
Flower child.
Is the importance of living in the moment. Just I think back to my freshman year roommates,
mm-hmm.
and we had very different personalities. I love them both. Caitlin and Haley, if you're listening, love you both. But I'm very type A, they were very type B.
Okay.
It was great, we learned a lot from each other. I showed them how to make a LinkedIn account, and they taught me just to be more go with the flow. And I realized that I was just spending all of my time worrying about, should I change my major? What job I'm gonna get? Should I do this thing? Or kind of regretting, reliving the past. I'm so busy in the past or the future that I was not in the present at all. So you gotta be a flower child and just be where your feet are. Be in the moment.
That's great advice. Remember, I was thinking about it like, oh, do I want to do grad school or something? Do I want to do this? And you'll like lose track of like where you are. That's like why I'm glad I joined like this honors business fraternity. So it's like last Friday we went to Topgolf together, and it just opened my eyes to how many opportunities I have, and to not stress on it. Just do what you like want to do, what you're happy doing, and if your desires change, that's okay. Just don't worry about it. Just do what you want to do, and I mean it'll be okay in the end.
That's so true. I feel like so many people, myself included, come to college of, I want to do this thing and be in this organization and major in this.
Right.
But 2 months in, you're a totally different person.
Exactly.
Things happen, life happens, your priorities change, even your values change.
Right. You'd be a whole different person.
Mind. That's okay.
Yeah. Like, as scary as it sounds, college can turn you into a whole different person. And that's okay. Like, you'll still be happy in the end.
Did you change your major?
I did. Like, 6 times.
Well, okay. What was your original major?
So, I came here and I was pre-med, general business. And then I was marketing.
I remember that.
Yeah. And then I was MIS for a little bit. And that now I'm finance. So, and then my minor is officially advertising and public relations.
Man, Culver House roots run deep.
So true. Just because I really didn't know like what I wanted to do. Yeah. I just know I wanted to like get a serious job, and to get that I needed a college degree. So yeah, I'm happy with what I'm doing.
So my mom has a business degree from Alabama.
Okay.
And so you want to know why she has a business degree?
Sure.
So my grandfather had been a professional bull rider.
Okay.
Just for context, they grew up around rodeos. a special place in my heart. And I don't know if this story is true. I honestly doubt it. But apparently, at the rodeo one day, my grandpa gets off the bull and comes to my mom and was like, "See, you want to be doing this for the rest of your life? You gotta get a business degree. It's like, get out while you still can, because you can do anything with a business degree." And that's the story of why my mom chose to major in the University of Alabama. Because you can, in fact, do anything with a business degree.
That is true.
And now she works in a business field.
There you go. Yeah. It's a lot scarier than it actually is, but it's fine. It's fun. I'm excited to see where it takes me.
Yeah. Yay for finance. I don't know if anyone here listening has seen Devin, but he's not your typical finance bro.
I am definitely not your typical finance bro.
Sit in a radio booth.
No, but it is fun. Actually, I think about doing my a law MBA program together after undergraduate, so I'm excited about that. But I don't know. I like learning. Learning is fun. I'm such a nerd for that.
Are you Ravenclaw?
I don't think so. I think I'm a Hufflepuff.
That makes sense.
I took that and I was offended at first, but it's okay.
Do you know what house I am in?
Slytherin.
No.
Really? Are you Ravenclaw?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like school. I like to read.
Okay.
I like to learn. That's, I was doing an interview one time and they said, "How do you define success?" And I didn't know what the answer was. And I thought about it after that interview was over, and I realized I'm a person who loves learning, and how I define success is having learned something at the end of the day. Every failure is a chance to learn something new. Every person you meet, like I said earlier, this is a big school, and everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has their own list of life lessons that they've learned.
Right.
And you can learn something from everybody, from every experience. So as long as you're learning and you're continuing to grow as a person, I think you're successful.
I agree. If you understand growth and you are changing and you accept it and you go with it, it's going to be okay. Just do what you want, but also be safe and be smart.
And be kind to others.
Please, yes.
Show
yes.
others respect. Please do not commit a crime.
I agree.
And if you do, don't get caught.
Well,
I'm probably gonna get canceled in 20 years. Have you ever seen MASH?
No, but I've heard of it. I've seen it on cable all the time, but I've never seen it.
Great show. Yeah. Honestly, one of my favorites. Probably my favorite.
Okay.
But sitcom about war, came out in the 70s. But my favorite line from that show is the priest comes to the doctor and says, "Please be good, be good." And says, "All right, look, if you can't be good, be careful."
Yeah. College is crazy.
Yeah. I had another girl that I was talking to. I was like, "Hey, I'm coming on this radio show now. You should listen to it."
Right.
And she's like, "I don't have a car, so I don't know." And I said, like, "You can listen to it on the website when it's over."
Yeah, when it's
you
over.
You can do. If you look up 90.7 FM The Capstone, or just Google University of Alabama student radio station, probably.
It'll come up.
And you can listen to this forever and always with all of my sage wisdom and advice.
5-10 years from now, we'd be like, "I wonder what Jenny Scott's advice was." You can always
it's
watch
going
this.
It's to be worth billions one day. Billions with a B. But she was talking about just different lessons we learned. And her piece of advice that she wanted to share was, if you struggle with anxiety, to put a baby picture of yourself on your mirror.
Hmm.
And the reason for that is any mean thing that you say to yourself now, you're saying to 4-year-old you. And if you wouldn't say it to her, don't say it to yourself.
Okay. That's smart. I will say it is hard. I mean, easy to demean yourself and say, this isn't enough, or this isn't what I want, or this isn't right. Or so on, but
I was talking to one of the counselors at the Women and Gender Resource Center at the time, and because I was trying out for something there, and I said, "So, what's a piece of advice that you give a lot to college students?" And she said that every morning, look in the mirror, say your name, that you love yourself, and something that you love about yourself, and it can't be physical.
Okay.
So My name is Chainsco Corcadale. I love myself. And what I love most about myself today is I am incredibly patriotic. God bless the USA.
But yeah, positivity. It's all you need.
Feel the power of positive thinking and prayer.
The inner flower child.
It's a new Instagram bio. I'm sure, but her other thing that she wanted me to touch on was, what do you think is something valuable?
I think knowledge is pretty smart. Not smart, but valuable.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I'm picking up what your friends down. But what we talked about was there were very few things, if anything, knowledge would be up there, more valuable than a good reputation. And she was a marketing major talking about the importance of branding.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, reputation is branding herself, and college is a time to cultivate a good reputation that will follow you into the workforce.
I agree.
Mind you, she said all of this after I said, sometimes you just need to shut up. Not her, it's just talking about life in general.
Man. Yeah, I hope my reputation's okay. I am nervous.
I think so. You're all right.
I don't know. We'll see. Man, it's great. We're halfway done with college, or undergrad at least.
That's wild.
That is so wild.
I can't wait to see like where everybody ends up 20 years from now. That's the magic of Instagram.
That's so scary. Well, I wonder if Instagram will still be a thing, though. It might die out.
I gave it up for Lent.
Really?
You know, I've been sober for about 2 months. I've been clean for a while. But I didn't realize how much basic information I got off of Instagram until I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to formally apologize to my roommate for the amount of times I said, hey, like, can you look up something for me on the gram to see if there's a meeting or something?
Yeah.
But now I've just really done myself dirty because I've never spent this much time on LinkedIn.
I love LinkedIn.
We're friends on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Oh.
I liked your sailing post.
Thank you. I am so close. You got 500 plus. I need that. I've got 500 plus connections. I'm so close to it. I'm at like 415 right now.
Everybody follow us on LinkedIn.
Everybody, yeah. shamelessly plug our LinkedIn profiles.
It's Chaney with a CH.
I'm on LinkedIn every day for at least 3 hours. I love LinkedIn. It's my favorite app. It's like a game.
Oh my gosh. I remember... I was in another city.
Right.
Just visiting for a concert, and I met this girl, and she's like, hey, do you want to keep in touch? And I kicked myself for this. Do you have LinkedIn?
Not like any other social media, just the first thing. You have LinkedIn.
It's like, I'm that nerd. Oh, man. Things I will never say again.
I had a friend that he's a year younger than us. He was a UGA, and he would try to pick up women by asking for their LinkedIn, and it worked. I don't know how he did but it worked.
It's like, is he asking me for my LinkedIn because he's smart and professional, or does he just love to manipulate women?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Imagine that's the pickup line. Yeah.
Oh man.
Have you ever used a pickup line?
I don't think so. I really don't think I have. I just open up with hi. I'm very easy, very simple.
Anna Grace listening to
me. Yeah. She's like, wow. He's so different. Oh, well, it's been a long, it's been long and short these past 2 years.
Mm-hmm. The days are long, the years are short.
It's crazy to think, yeah. Just how much, just thinking, me in the dorm and my daily routine, how much is different now. And I even look so different. Like, my hair was so much longer. And it's just crazy. Yeah.
I got my hair cut recently.
Really?
I know it's still really long. It was, in fact, even longer. It was
really longer than that? That's crazy. How often do you get your hair cut? Is it often or
not? Not that often. Yeah. I really hate salons because they always just make it. I've not had good luck with salons. I'll leave it at that. But I've had great luck with nursing majors. I'm serious. Because I don't want to pay to have somebody cut my hair because I just do it in a straight line across. I don't dye my hair.
Right.
Or anything.
Right.
So you just get some kind of pre-med student because they got steady hands.
Just straight across. Yeah. Yep. That's true.
It's the best haircut of my life.
The remember my barbers back home are so bad. I hate them a lot. But there's this one place by Turbo Coffee, Greasy Hands. I love him. I love my barber. He's great.
Yeah. He actually ever listens. Retires, find a nursing major.
That's the plan. Find a nurse.
No, I don't know. Maybe I will dye my hair, and I'll actually make my back to a salon.
What color would you do?
I don't know. I've thought about dyeing my hair brown.
Okay.
But I would never get it back. I'm blonde, for all the listening
that
have never met me.
Yeah, they don't know what you look like. But you can't
see
us. I
would never get it back to this color, so I doubt I will. Well.
Wow.
I mean, not there. I'll grow back.
Who knows? Who knows? College might do that to you.
This girl accused me of being emotionally attached to my hair. I was like, that's the most specific insult I've ever been given.
How could you be emotionally attached to your hair?
Well, somebody comes up to you with scissors behind you, chops it all off, or like, okay, I need to stop laughing. Somebody comes up to you like on the sidewalk with a razor and just like shaves your head.
Oh, I'd be so embarrassed. I'd walk around looking like a child. <It's> so bad.
That's even illegal.
I probably is. I think it's probably harassment or something.
Like the 14th Amendment privacy.
But I mean, it's in a public setting. I don't know.
I think that's the 14th Amendment.
I should know this. I'll figure it out.
Google it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What time is it? Oh, we're doing good on time. We can take a little break if you want to take a break. Take a little quick little song break. Yeah.
I'm fine.
You're fine? All right.
Oh, we can talk about music.
I'd love to talk about music.
So, I can talk about music, quite literally, for a two-hour slot on Wednesday nights. I can't say rest in peace, because there's a new DJ.
That's true.
I'm sure she's doing a great job.
I don't listen to it, I'll be honest.
But that's here on 90.7, where we have a variety of radio shows and music shows.
Plugging in our own station on the station.
I mean, it's the best one.
Okay.
Although I do listen to a lot of, I think it's 102.9, Air One. I listen to the radio a lot, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because I get so sad of listening to the same songs over and over. That's how I get new music. But I am a big Spotify enthusiast. If you want to follow me on Spotify, it is Chaney_Scott. I have a lot of great playlists out there. The first one, I think, is called In Tune, and that was my rock in tune set list of the first couple shows. I would find all the music on Spotify and just made a big master playlist of it. And then once that one was getting kind of long, I made another playlist called CCR and Similar, because I was on such a big Creedence Clearwater Revival kick.
Yeah. Interesting.
What kind of music do you like?
It changes all the time. Like, I can't pick one genre at all. I always go everywhere. Like, today I listened to Beach Boys and then Jimi Hendrix.
Love.
I don't know. It was everything. It was just so much.
You like bluegrass?
Probably not.
It's like, what's your most obscure music genre?
I remember I seen the Spotify, like, Wrapped. I remember one of them was, it was, like, indie rap or something.
No, I can get behind some indie rap. I have a whole indie rap playlist.
Interesting. I didn't even know it was indie rap.
Are you familiar with 251 Rap?
No. And now I'm intrigued. What is this? What is that?
There's a mystical and mythical place here in Alabama. A special place. And you mention it, and people's eyes either light up or they run away screaming because someone says they're from this town, and that's probably a red flag.
Oh, no.
This special place, unlike any other, the birthplace of Mardi Gras, is Mobile, Alabama. It's my hometown. I can say these things.
Oh, is it called 251 because of the area code? Is that why?
It is, in fact, the area
code. Okay.
But I have a whole playlist called 251 because I have a love-hate relationship with the land of my people. That's just songs either about Mobile or by artists from Mobile. And there's a lot of very talented artists. Jimmy Buffett's from Mobile, Muscadine Bloodline, the band Perry. Mm-hmm. Things, I Die Young. Yeah, them. But there is a lot of rap coming out lately of basically indie rappers from Mobile. And I was home a couple weeks ago, and I was listening to 92 Zoo there, which is the local radio station that a lot of artists from that area get their start playing their own music on the radio. And I love that. I feel like there's not that many local radio stations that play local music anymore.
Right.
but it's a lot of country because you're in Alabama. But this is a rap. It's a country rap song. And it was about Mardi Gras. Like, some people come to party, but we live down here. If you want to listen to the song, it's called The Bottom by Sunny Bama.
Okay.
Because it's Mobile's at the bottom of the state.
Right.
I've been at the rec, and it's like, some people come to party, but we live down here. 2-5-1. It's like, Nick Saban and Jesus, those are our guys. So that's probably my most obscure music genre as of late.
That's so funny.
Mobile rap. I don't know if I'm saying I recommend it. I'm just saying
it's a thing. Yeah, it's a thing.
No, I remember last year when I was living with Haley. Shout out to Haley. We had such different tastes in music. And you know how Spotify can do those collaborative playlists?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had one together, and it was the most chaotic thing I've ever seen. Because it would be Skillet, which is Christian heavy metal.
Okay.
And then Cody Johnson, Cody Jinx, Tyler Childers, The Beach Boys, and Mobile Rap. And then Casting Crowns, which is, you know, the early 2000s Christian music. And then more country music, because we are both from Alabama. But I remember I was listening to my music on shuffle, and I was getting ready for something. And I had the music playing, and she comes out here and is like, I think hillbillies are chasing me.
Oh.
It's like, is this the Great Depression? So I was playing Billy Strings.
Okay.
You listen to him?
No, but I've heard of him.
It's the retro bluegrass. I think it was Meet Me at the Creek or something. Or one of his songs had some kind of banjo solo. Everybody's like, what are you listening to?
Was it fun? Was it a good song? Or was it just, like, funny?
I like Billy Strings.
Okay.
Like, I unironically listen to
Billy. At least you're honest.
Yeah, see, but I also listen to just probably every genre of music. I like rock, I like rap, I like country, I like Christian music, indie music, Arctic Monkeys.
I love them.
Oh, love the Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah, love them.
Okay, what's your favorite album, and why is it AM?
Why is it AM?
Sorry.
My bad. It is.
I knew it.
Everybody does. I think everyone does.
I mean, that is my personal favorite.
Yeah. I think everyone loves that album. But, I mean, rightfully so. It's a really good album.
I would put it in my top 10 greatest albums of all time.
That's really good.
What is in your top 10 greatest albums of all time? Or you can do a top 5, top 3. I know 10 is a lot.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, like, what are they right now?
Okay.
So, I'd say...
I'm here for it.
I'm into Rubber Soul right now by the Beatles.
Love it. You don't have to tell me it's by the Beatles. I already know.
Well, I know, but like everybody else listening. I don't know.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay. And then I'm trying to think. Maybe Led Zeppelin 2. Definitely.
Big fan.
Yeah.
I like Led Zeppelin 4. That would be my personal
favorite. Yeah, everyone loves that favorite. Yeah, I love those. And then I guess third one. Let me think.
Pink Floyd.
I do like Pink Floyd, but I think Darkest Against the Moon is not their best. Everybody loves that album, but I don't think it's their best.
I would put The Wall.
Okay.
That's my personal favorite Pink Floyd album. Maybe I'm emotionally attached. That was the record that got me into Pink Floyd. And I remember being 14 years old, like, listening to it through. That was the first album I probably ever listened through. And thinking I was so cool, so edgy. I'm really exposing myself tonight.
It's okay.
But... all good choices. You got any other great recommendations for our College Struggles listeners out there?
Oh, To Pimp a Butterfly. I love that.
It's like Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah. I love that album. That's probably my favorite rap album.
That is a good one.
It's so good.
I do like Kendrick Lamar.
It's beautiful. I don't know how he did it, but it's, you know, like, his other albums, they don't match up. But, I mean, they're close, but they're not not nearly as good as To Pimp a Butterfly.
I started listening to him until pretty recently, actually.
I love his stuff. Love it a lot. It's fun.
Yeah, once Kanye West was like, oh, I hate Jewish people, I'm like, I simply cannot listen to this anymore.
Yeah.
That's what kind of got me into looking at other rappers.
Yeah.
If I'm being totally honest.
Did you see that post you made? I'm sure you've probably
Jonah
seen
Hill.
It. Yeah. Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, somebody sent it to me because, like I said, I don't have Instagram.
Either. Right.
But, oh, man. There's so many people at the school that think I'm Jewish. I'm not. I'm just an ally. Oh, I got invited to a Jewish family reunion in Birmingham.
Did you go?
I haven't gone yet. It's this summer. I plan on going.
You should go. Yeah, it'd be fun.
Apparently, I'm getting a t-shirt. They asked me for my size.
Oh, interesting.
I'm going to have to tell my mom, it's, where are you going? It's like, I'm on my way to a family reunion that is not our family.
And we're going to get t-shirts.
I'm walking to the first day of class next semester. It's like my 2023 family reunion.
And it's like their name, their like last name. Like, that's not you. Whose family's t-shirt is this?
Blood brothers. My adopted.
Yeah, exactly. My second family.
What is this different? Like, I just start going to family reunions.
That's like a sport.
But there's some really new sports in there. In high school, I was really involved. And because, like I said, I'm just going to continue to expose myself. Really involved in the competitive jigsaw puzzling circuit.
Interesting.
It's a big thing in Mobile.
Okay.
Probably someone's from Mobile listening to this. Like, I've never heard of this. But I don't know. It was a thing. There was this girl at my high school that was like, hey, so do you like jigsaw puzzles? And I'm like, I haven't done one in a while. But why do you ask? And she said, well, there's a competition. And the prize is $500 in cash.
That's
so
pretty
it's
good.
Whoever does whoever jigsaws the fastest.
Jigsaws.
So, yeah, it's a puzzling predicament, but we became a pretty dynamic duo. And this is like my sophomore to junior year of high school.
Yeah.
And there were these tournaments all over Mobile County. And I won $100 at my second tournament, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And they had different age ranges, different leagues. But yeah, it was a varsity jigsaw puzzle. Things that are not on my resume but could be part one.
Jigsaw puzzling.
Some of my other weird sports was I actually attend the University of Alabama on a disc golf scholarship.
Whoa, what? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You play disc golf?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Someone's gonna hear this that I have played disc golf with. It's like, she sucks.
She's lying.
But you know what? It was a female disc golf player, and that will take you farther, Sophie.
They're like 40 in the world.
41. No, it was this guy at my high school who was starting a team at our school, and he was like, hey, we really need a female to get the school to accredit us or whatever. So I actually had to buy the disc. I bought a putter and a flyer.
Oh, wow.
Well, technically, I just gave him $20, and he ordered them for me because he knew which ones to buy.
Right.
He was really into it. He actually went on to play D1 disc golf.
I didn't even know it was a thing. That's crazy.
Yeah, he's nice, nationally ranked, too.
Wow.
All started in the 251. You can probably listen to a rap song about him. But, yeah, I started playing disc golf. We don't do tournaments. And I applied for this disc golf scholarship, and I got it. So, yeah, disc golf, it's wild, man. Those are jigsaw, use your words. Jigsaw, I was going to say disc golf, and then I said jigsaw.
Right.
So disc golf, jigsaw, scholar's bowl, any like non-physical sport. It's like, oh, that was what I was into.
So how often do you play disc golf here?
I really let myself go.
Really?
I'm in the group meet for the club team.
Right.
But I never go to any of their stuff. I just kind of do it with my friends, like on a Sunday afternoon if we're not busy.
Interesting.
If you ever want to play.
Sure. I'll come by. Maybe this weekend.
I'd be bad at it, honestly.
I'm probably worse.
I don't know why they were like, oh yeah, she's the one.
This one.
It's literally just the fact you being a girl with a frisbee. And I'm like, oh yeah, never seen that one before.
It sounds fun. Just have fun.
I mean, you're not one to talk about niche sports, considering on the sailing club. Sailing team? Sailing club?
Sailing club, yeah. We're a club.
You hear the hockey team's trying to get team status.
Yeah. I know the girl who runs the, like, Savannah. I know her, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all the media people, I feel like, kind of know each other in this town.
Exactly. We all have the same kind of goals, just applying to what I do to sailing.
Like, what are your goals, Deb?
I don't know. They change all the time.
Survival.
Just doing it the best I can and improving the next time and keep improving. That's how the show grows. So.
That's so profound.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm in the RTDNA. It's a club here. Radio and digital news. No, radio.
Radio television.
Radio and television digital news association.
Yeah.
Think about that. Also, I am president of the Society of Professional Journalists. If anyone is looking to join, we are having a recruiting event coming up. We'll be sending out a mass email to the comm students.
Woo!
For RTDNA, I went to this networking event, and it was some news directors from different news stations around the state. And I'm talking to the GM of this guy from Huntsville, and he said, "So, what are your goals?" And I said, "Get a job." He's like, "Anything specific?" And I said, "A job that pays."
Yeah. Money, please. Yeah.
I said something in the general vicinity of news and entertainment news.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah, be an MNJ. It's a multimedia journalist for anybody who's not familiar with the news circuit.
For all of you finance bros out there.
Yes, I love talking to people about the different terminology in their fields.
Yeah.
Because an engineering major, an MIS major, is going to have all these terms and such that news media wouldn't know, and then vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
My mom hates watching the news with me now. Because we were sitting together one time, and it was watching the local news, and I said, "You see that? That's called a BOSOP. You see that? That's it. That's a package." So that's PKG. That's not a word.
Oh.
I'm like, "You see that? That was programmed by ENPS and a thing called the Rundown." And all of these words making absolutely no sense to my mom. She's like, "Please shut up so I can enjoy the TV.
Please, try to listen to the news."
And then we hit commercial break, and I'm like, "Okay, so BOSOP stands for voiceover sound on tape."
Oh, man.
You just trade homework with somebody for the evening.
I'd struggle. I'd be so confused.
College struggle.
Oh, man.
I did that last semester.
You traded homework with someone?
Yeah, have you ever met Amory?
I don't think so.
You're probably listening to this. Is like, do not drag me into this. It was, she's really good at it. So once upon a time, I was a French minor.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time. I do love French, but she's fluent. So I had her look at it. And I'm also really good at writing because journalism major. And she had me read over her women's studies essay that she had written, or something for that field. So it wasn't like necessarily doing each other's homework, just kind of checking it over for one another. That's sisterhood right there.
That's true sisterhood.
But it's always cool seeing what somebody else's projects are, what they're working on, what they're involved in. People are so interesting.
I agree. People are weird.
And you never know, like, who on the quad, man, that person was in competitive jigsaw puzzling.
You could never know. That person, I don't know, like, runs the station. Who knows? They have their own brand of clothing. People are so unique here.
I actually do know a girl that does have her own clothing.
Well, there you go. I was just naming things. That's cool. Yeah. What college is that in? I don't even know.
Arts and sciences?
Probably. I don't know.
I think we're getting a new fashion building, right?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
They've been building one. Have you been to the Row lately?
Yes.
Yeah, you see the construction across from East Fiber?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I think we're getting a fashion building and a new sorority house.
Yeah. Man. This place is always changing. There was a deconstruction last week on around Gorgas. I saw that.
My mom went here, and then my godmother went here mm-hmm. in the 50s. And then I'm coming back to Tuscaloosa. Everything just looks so different, apparently. And if you look at old photos from it, everything's changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I love my godfather. Respect him a lot. But he was big man on campus, like Mr. Fraternity President, all the things. He comes back, he's like, "Are they still doing construction? They were doing construction when I was here. But that was the Vietnam War. Like, who, what else is there to add?"
Man. They're always changing things.
It makes me think about, you know how you're saying, where is everybody going to end up in 20 years? What is Tuscaloosa going to be like in 20 years?
Right. Who knows?
I mean, what hole has Alabama dug itself into this time?
What are you going to tear down and rebuild this time?
That doesn't even really... Oh my gosh, did you hear about McClure?
Yeah, they're going to tear it down?
I signed a petition. I like McClure. I'm not even...
I've never been in there.
So one time, I was literally a senior in high school, and I just happened to be in Tuscaloosa, and I just went into McClure for the afternoon, worked on my homework. I was like, "Oh, I feel like I'm in college." I was waiting on my cousin to pick me up, and she happened to be in education. I was like, please wait here while I go do my thing, and then I'll pick you up, for context. But I loved it there, and sometimes if Reese Pfeiffer is just kind of crowded, kind of busy, and I just need a little place to unwind, so yeah. McClure's really peaceful because it's a lot of children's books, just because it's an education building. But yeah, they're kind of...
Is it small? It's pretty small,
yeah,
isn't
it? Yeah, it's pretty small.
Yeah.
And it's got all the bushes around it.
It's always, almost kind of hidden, almost.
Yeah, it's by the authoring Lucy Foster building.
I love Bruno. Bruno's my library. Mm-hmm. I'm there all the time.
Yeah, they just renovated. I went in. It's nice.
It's so nice. I love it.
What's your favorite class? Actually, no. What were your favorite class? If you were a building in the University of Alabama, what building would you be and why? Thinking long. Thinking hard.
I mean, probably the one I spend the most time in, which is probably Bruno, because I'm there till like 1 a.m. every day. And... besides, like, weekends, because they close at 10. But,
shame.
Yeah, I know. The business library closes at 10 p.m. on Saturday. And then, but yeah, I'm there, like, pretty much after my classes. I'm there from, like, either 3 or 6 p.m. or a little after 6, and then until it closes every time. Because I always have a lot of work to do. And I take calls in there sometimes. I have to do, like, internship interviews.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's fun. So I have one for like a sailing, not sailing, a sales place back home, like about 20 minutes from my house. And then I'm thinking about ones for next summer. So I'm already applying to like ones at like HBO Max, Spotify, this small like accounting firm in Atlanta. And it has like, it's what I want to do is like data analytics. So it's really cool, like really fun stuff. Yeah. So I'm just looking at its options right now. And then maybe even like legal stuff, because I think about doing the law MBA track. So, who knows?
What's your dream job?
I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I love, like, data. I love numbers. I love graphs. I love interpreting and working with those numbers and being, okay, what's next? Okay, how can I work it? How can I improve it? I love doing that. That's so fun to me. But I don't know if that's a job. I don't know. It probably is. But
yeah,
I don't,
that is, in fact, a job.
Yeah. I don't know where I can find it, though. But
and
we'll see.
You're good with numbers. That's quite literally money in your pocket.
I do love, yeah, I do. I am good with numbers, but it's fun. It is fun.
My dream job is to work for National Geographic.
Why?
I care a lot about nature. I love it. I've always just grown up reading National Geographic, some of my favorite memories. I used to visit this World War II veteran who lives in my neighborhood, and he had a subscription to National Geographic. So every day after school, from the time I was 4 to the time I was 12 and he passed away, I would go over and, you know, I couldn't read, you know, those were, I would just look at the pictures with him. And then when I got older, I would read through the National Geographics with him. Because I thought he was really old and his eyesight was kind of gone. So my whole life, it's just been something that's there in the back of my mind. And now studying journalism and communications, I love to talk, I love to write, and I would love to work for a nationally syndicated news network as a foreign correspondent. Travel journalist.
And yeah, it'd be cool.
If National Geographic, I would be able to do a lot of writing, long-form features about environmental issues.
That's awesome. Like you, that's really detailed. It's really sweet. I have a good story too. Yeah. Me, I'm just like, oh, I like numbers. That's
it's
they're pretty.
Flower child.
Very flower child. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, after that, you know, I'll still go wherever I can get a job.
Right,
and that's probably
right.
Going to be being an MMJ and then going up from there. Because that's, for those who aren't familiar with the news media industry, that's a very entry-level position for a reporter.
It's cool. So, do you want to be a reporter?
Start there, work my way up, and end up in a safari in Africa.
So you would want to be a reporter at the end? Or not really?
At the end of the day, I want to be a journalist.
Okay.
There is no other industry I could imagine wanting to be a part of other than journalism, because journalism is the ultimate public service, aside from medicine. But if I was a nurse, I'd probably kill someone. What I mean by that when I say is you're providing people with
information,
necessary information that they need for their day-to-day life. And it's because of journalists that we have things like the FDA or laws have been changed because of important investigations that journalists have done. It's such an important field and so incredibly underpaid for what they do, for the long hours that they work. You're working holidays and weekends and night shifts because news is 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you have somebody out there and spending a lot of time covering a story that you just read as an update on your phone. But there's so much heart and soul that goes into that. And I've always been really inspired by the work of some really prominent journalists out
there. That's awesome. Yeah. That's crazy. Your story is like so like deep. I'm just like, ooh, pretty numbers.
Yeah. I don't know about deep, but
I mean, it's like emotion behind it, like a reason why you want to do it.
I want to help people.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I know that that's kind of the industry that I feel really called to by the Lord, is just to help people through journalism, because I can write and I can talk. I can't do much else.
Yeah. Man. I think, what time is it? Oh yeah, we're good for time.
Is it that time already?
It is already that time.
You know, I just had so much fun rambling.
I love when people ramble. It makes my job easier.
Thanks. Thanks for the question, Marty.
Yeah. I know, it is fun. This is one of my favorite guests. Sorry, my previous guests, but this is definitely one of my favorite shows.
Stop.
Well, I mean, you came with a little list, and we went like deeper and stuff, and it was really good. It was fun. It was good.
All right, I'll let you close out.
All right. Well, this has been the College Struggle with Dev. Tune in next week, 6 to 7. Thank you for listening. This has been the 90.7 FM radio. See you guys next week.
Thank you.
Woo!
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.